Welcome to Bagless Africa, a podcast by Africans on building and innovating Web3 into a new frontier for the people of Africa. I'm your host, Miss Purple, and each episode, I get together with some wonderful people across the continent and the diaspora to talk, ideate, and dream about the bright future of our people. Stay tuned for another exciting episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another phenomenal episode of Bankless Africa. It is a very hot day here in Lesotho, but I'm very, very excited to be able to speak to Paolo, the Chief Technology Officer at Bitfinex. How are you doing, Paolo?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. I'm doing great, and I really do appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Truly, truly much appreciated. Now, of course, as is Bankless Africa tradition here, we like to start off with a bit of a story. So can you just share with us perhaps a summarized version of your story from your work as a developer to now being the Chief Technology Officer at Bitfinex?
Sure. I've been coding all my life. I still try to do that for, you know, as much as I can in my daily routine. I started coding at the age of 8. It was kind of different time. You know, we had the best computer you could get was either a Z Spectrum or a 286 Pentium, well, Intel. And so, you know, I started using Linux pretty soon in my career, at the age of I think 12, something like that. And then, you know, kept coding, went to the university, math applied to computer science. Was involved in the research facility in my university in Genoa in Italy. I'm Italian. Guess you can hear that from my accent. And then, you know, I've always been excited about tools, frameworks, applications that would be undestructible. So also in my research career at the university, I was involved in building a telecommunication system for distressed areas, including battlefields, so that you could provide resilient networks in case of, even hurricanes. And imagine like the worst case scenarios where you have hurricanes, devastations, and so on. And so I had always in my mind how building applications that could be both centralized and decentralized, how we could make them extremely resilient to, you know, the worst catastrophes. And that, you know, led me to research a lot Bitcoin. I discovered it in 2013. And in 2014, I had the opportunity to join Bitfinex, one of the most prominent cryptocurrency exchanges. And then eventually in 2017, I became the CTO also of Tether. Both in Bitfinex and Tether, I keep developing a lot of internal tools. For Bitfinex, I developed entirely the matching engine that is the core part of the infrastructure. Also now I'm moving to, I'm adding to my, let's say, portfolio also Holepunch, that is a peer-to-peer communication layer. And that goes back to my roots in terms of, creating technology that is extremely resilient. It's actually the realization of my life realization to be able to contribute to these projects, because I truly believe that the world deserves better tools than the ones that we have today, we're seeing today, that are extremely centralized in the hands of a few big tech companies that are just driven by money. I think that Bitcoin taught us that we need a more fair access to financial services, but also to communication services. So that's basically me. That's basically the ethos of Tether and Bitfinex as well.
That is quite a story. And I think I'm finding a common thread there, and that is resilience, you know, so it's not just resilient technology, but it's also resilient finance, just resilient outlook on life as a whole. So truly, truly, it's quite phenomenal to see somebody go from a career like that, and then you come into the crypto space in the same way. So where would you say the specific curiosity and the passion for the finance sector came about, specifically when it came to you then being involved with Bitfinex and Tether? Was there an aha moment that you felt, you were leaning more towards financial resiliency than anything else?
Well, I must admit that the first reason why I look into finance is that, you know, I was looking at, while I was doing the research in my university, you know, the jobs were, the job pay was not really high. And then I saw an opportunity to bring my knowledge in terms of, you know, parallel computing and distributed applications in finance, because, you know, the financial sector, and from the technological point of view, in all senses, but also from the technological point of view, is kept together by rubber and bands. The quality of the financial infrastructure from the technological point of view is terrible, but really, you know, is the worst that you can ever imagine, right? So it feels like we are still in the 90s and finance completely missed the last 30 years of technological evolution. And so in my mind, I thought, okay, what if I, and this is before Bitcoin, right? So before learning about Bitcoin, what if I bring my expertise to try and create a company, and I create my own startup in London to try to create a more efficient set of tools for hedge funds and for banks. But while I was working on that in London, I grew more frustrated because the finance. And it's obvious, but it wasn't obvious to me. I was kind of naive. Finance was much more politic. Even technological finance was all about politics rather than actual objective development, objective review and analysis of improvements. No one cared about that. Everyone cared only about making an extra buck, cared only about, create a new product to sell that product to investors. No one cared about the long-term vision on how to improve finance. And then, and my day was super frustrating because I had to collect all the data from all the different banks, trading venues, custodians that I had to deal with. And the data was horrible. The data was in 10 different formats, was always full of errors. And then when I came across to the Bitcoin white paper and then, Bitcoin I started testing, trying, playing with Bitcoin, I was looking at it and looking at the consensus mechanism. The beauty of it is everyone looks at the very same thing, right? So if you have a sync node, you look at the very same data. So the numbers that you see are the numbers that others see. And that never happens in finance. You have your own database, and you hope that another client or another bank sees the same thing that you are seeing, but most of the time there is full of errors. And so I started thinking, okay, but how we can leverage Bitcoin technology to improve the financial sector? And again, I realized, okay, it's all politics, no one wants to change, let's go full on Bitcoin, because the rest is complete is just noise. And also there is I'm always been in part of my career an advocate for privacy, an advocate for just being in your own control. I really like the idea of people being in control over their own money, being in control of their own wealth. I think that privacy is a right, is a human right. Nowadays feels like almost that if you ask for privacy, if you push for privacy, people think that you have something to hide. But that is a really dangerous narrative. So you are entitled to your own privacy. So the argument that I always make is, if someone push back on my, push on privacy, I will always tell, well, if you don't have anything to hide to your government, why you don't put microphones in your bedroom, right? So why don't let, the central bank hearing all your conversations? And they go, oh, no, that is too much. But so there is no thin line. There is the line has to be completely clear on the fact that in a human right is privacy. Then, of course, people cannot live in anarchy, right? So there has to be rules. But I'm, all the tools that we're building in terms of with Holepunch, with Keet, our peer-to-peer communication layer, is all about creating a new, moving away from a world where cloud is taught to be our friend, a world where, we are seeing Apple, Microsoft, Zoom, Google, Amazon, all having control for about 80-90% of the entire web or entire internet. That is insane. Internet wasn't built like that. The internet was built to be peer-to-peer. And it's I'm really outraged. I think I'm showing that because it's unfair. It's a way to keep feeding the big giants and removing power from the people. I believe that with applications like Keet, like Holepunch, developers can compete finally using peer-to-peer technology that optimize internet, can optimize traffic, make it private by default, and will by default not store the data on big data centers, on these giants that will use our data to monetize, to squeeze it, to milk it in order to make an extra buck. So I think that, I'm being extremely lucky to end up in Bitfinex and Tether because we are lucky, we are successful companies, and we feel like all the management feel like is giving back is the right thing, right? So all the technologies that we are creating are all open source and we cannot even make money on them. But we do it anyway because we believe that we should be respectful of the lesson that that Bitcoin teach to the world, that if you want to advance the world, you need to provide open technology that everyone can use and leverage on.
I do think that there is a rise or an increase in people moving towards being more open source, and it is quite refreshing to see as a young person who was not able to see the dot-com boom. I think it's phenomenal in a very odd way because it's not something that a lot of people are used to. But it's definitely something that I feel is very much needed. Now, of course, for anybody here who is confused, I know we're going to be interchanging quite a bit between Bitfinex and Tether. I'm going to just give you a short, a brief bio or a short introduction into Tether. So Tether is a cryptocurrency stablecoin pegged to the US dollar. And according to its website, it's backed 100% by Tether's reserves. It is owned by iFinex, which is a Hong Kong registered company that also owns the crypto exchange Bitfinex. Launched in 2014 as Realcoin and then later rebranded as Tether in November 2014, Tether has been trading as of February 2015. It has so far racked up to $25.6 billion in volume and has a market cap of around $66.49 billion. It is also the third largest cryptocurrency after Bitcoin and Ethereum. Tether supports Bitcoin's Omni and Liquid protocols along with Ethereum, Tron, EOS, Algorand, Solana, and the OMG network. Now, can you, outside of, those facts, because of course anybody can find all of those on your website and on the internet, can you talk us through Tether's journey from 2014 until now, specifically as it relates to transparency for users?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to clarify that Tether is not owned by iFinex. iFinex and Tether are two separate companies, although they share part of the management, but the structure is different. Aside that, I think that, you summarized well the nature of Tether, how Tether was born. Tether was born actually to solve a problem, that a really important problem in the world of cryptocurrency trading. It was 2014, and there were just 3-4 exchanges. Like there was Bitfinex, Bitstamp, OKCoin, and Coinbase, and Kraken. So in order to move funds across these exchanges, in order, for example, to arbitrage. So the arbitrage work is, you sell Bitcoin on the exchange where the price is higher, you buy back on the exchange where the price is lower. In order to do this, you have to move Bitcoins on the exchange where the price is higher, but then when you sell them, you sell your Bitcoins, you have to move the dollars on the exchange where the price is lower, and so on and so forth in a loop. But in order to do that, you have to move dollars. And in 2014, to move dollars between one exchange and the other was taking 5 days, and if you were lucky. So the arbitrage opportunity was gone. Now, with Tether, Tether is a really simple idea. Let's put a dollar on the blockchain. Let's use the great innovation that Bitcoin created and just put a dollar on top of it. And simple as that. And initially, it grew quite slowly. But in 2017, at the end of 2017, Tether had reach the first billion in terms of market cap. And that kept growing. Today we are 66.5 billion. Tether has been, just to talk about the elephant in the room, there were many concerns about Tether and its transparency. I think that in the recent years, we did something that no other competitor, no crypto company ever did. First of all, we publish our breakdown of reserves. So now you can see where our reserves are invested. You can see that the vast majority is in US Treasury bills. So it's super safe. So more than 82% is in US Treasury bills. The rest is in over-collateralized assets that are anyway exceeding by far the collateralization requirement. So that there is more than 100% reserve actually. And that will be even more clear in the next attestation that we're doing. Tether is an extremely profitable company. Our competitors are losing money. Crazy or not, they are losing money, they are making investments, they are the classic VC bankers, Wall Street guys that are only caring to trying to increase their valuation. Tether is laser focused on adoption in emerging countries and developing markets. So we are building a product that is lean, a product that is simple to use, and a product that can be used by everyone in a safe way. So that we have people using communities, entire communities using Tether from Africa, Turkey, South America. I was in Uruguay, I was in El Salvador, I have friends in Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina. We participated, of course, in Ghana to the Bitcoin Africa conference, and we are expanding the role. We are in Vietnam, everywhere. In all the emerging markets, Tether is a lifeline. And we are taking that extremely seriously. So we are defending Tether with our teeth. We want to make sure that Tether remains the safest product out there. In the recent 6 months, how many companies, how many competitors attacked Tether in the last 5 years? 90% of these competitors went belly up because they did all the things they accused Tether of, right? It's in a way is quite interesting. So we are seeing people, from the US, from Europe, always, looking at us in the past as, they're with pity in a way. And eventually it turned out that they were actually defrauding their investors. They were using customers' funds for their own purposes. And that's something that Tether doesn't. Tether is laser focused on creating the safest product ever, to make a product that can resist to the wrath of God, right? So we proved in May and June 2022, we are the only company in the world, the only financial institution, if you want to call us, in the world, that was able, without the blink of an eye, to process $7 billion in redemptions in 48 hours. That it was 10% of our reserves. In the history of banking, the history of normal financial world, there is just one case. That is Washington Mutual, was a bank in 2008, was subject to 10% of withdrawals from the bank from its customers. And that bank went belly up. It went bankrupt. In 1 month, in 30 days, we processed around $25 billion in redemption. Sorry, $20 billion in redemptions. That was 25% of our assets. No problem. We could have done and gone to zero. No problems at all. So it's not anymore hypothetical about the transparency, about the resilience and so on. So Tether is always out there, is building products like Hole Punch, like Kit, is providing a safe way to transfer money, a way to disintermediate sending money around. We are, as Tether, we can improve all the remittances business. We can, now the remittances business, these things makes me really upset, because I see in the remittances business companies that are taking 15, 20, 30% of the money from people that are hardworking in Europe. They want to send this money at home. And yet these companies are squeezing the customers for making enormous profits. That is unfair. Tether will completely remove all that. Now you can send dollars at home with no cost. It's basically just transaction fees on blockchain. And that's it. That's how it should be. That's how the world should be. We should, if we want the world to develop in parallel, you know, with giving to everyone, to all the communities, the same opportunities, then we need to make sure that money flows around without, having few companies that have full control of the money and are squeezing customers in an unfair way. So that's why I love Bitcoin, because it doesn't have intermediaries. That's why I love Tether, because basically, for sure, is a centralized tool, but still is proving every single day that is there, is also supported by tens of thousands of shops and service providers, actually hundreds of thousands nowadays in all around the world. So that's the way we work, right? We are simple people. We are laser focused on technology. We're laser focused on freedom.
I can attest to, the bit about lack of transaction fees, or at least the fees being so minuscule that it doesn't even count anymore, because I am, of course, most of our listeners know I'm based in Lesotho, and working online the way I do and working especially in the crypto space, I earn in crypto, right? And at first I was very nervous because I had no idea, how am I going to get this money out? How am I going to get any of that to reach me over here? But thankfully, because there are things like USDT and Tether, and thankfully there are also other off-ramping platforms as well that I can use to then take those dollars and turn them into something I can actually use. And it's phenomenal, because I will actually see from the transaction itself that I was sent that exact amount and I was able to get that exact amount. There is no weird hidden fee that you don't see anywhere. All the fees are listed in there, all included. So the transparency of the blockchain as a whole is very, very much welcome to a lot of people, but especially to, emerging markets. And of course, for a lot of people, I'm sure we're aware by now that the global habit is, of course, to gauge the value of a currency by comparing it to the dollar. We at Satsang Gui, which is our weekly updates podcast, we do exactly that. We compare the dollar and the African currencies. So it's not difficult to imagine then that a stable coin like Tether offers multiple opportunities for those whose currencies may not be at the top of the coin chain, as it may. How can Tether then, from your perspective, of course, act as a tool for financial inclusion and perhaps even an inflation hedge? Because we're going into a very tumultuous year. So I think a lot of people are very curious to know, how can it be able to do that, especially for emerging markets like the African continent and those who are unbanked?
Sorry. So I studied this problem really well, and I see how you can actually use, I have a friend, let me tell you a story, right? I have a friend that is, he lives in Turkey, but he shares a similar issue that is sometimes you have, especially in certain countries, you have the national currency that is devaluating insanely against the dollar, right? So as you said, we can see that in Turkey, in Argentina, I see that in Nigeria and basically everywhere. That is so a really big issue across the world. It's actually right. Venezuela, it's just, Asia, Africa, South America, but even, even Europe, eventually Europe will have to learn that Europe is not exempt to these issues. We have seen, how the euro devaluated really quickly and the British pound devaluated really quickly. Not compared, of course, is still much better than, for example, the Turkish lira. But this thing can change pretty quickly in the world, right? Especially in these distress periods where there could be wars, and we are seeing what is happening between Ukraine and Russia. So with Tether, so we have, long story short, I have this friend, and he has a couple of children in Turkey. And he was saving his money to, sometimes as a parent, you might want to send your children to study abroad to give them a different experience, learning languages. It's kind of normal. But he told me last year, I saved, so 2 years ago, I saved my money in Turkish liras. At the end of the year, I was poorer than at the beginning of the year. So I worked for nothing because the Turkish lira devaluated 80%, right, in a year. So he started saving in Tether, and now he has, you know, everyone basically the dollar is anyway the world currency for the moment. Maybe in the future will be Bitcoin, but for the moment is the dollar is the global currency. And he started saving in Tether, and now he feels much better, right? So he knows that he can always convert in all the local exchanges like BTC Turk and others. He can convert his Tether, cash out, and do whatever he wants. But he is protected by the inflation on their own national currency. And, you know, I know that in Africa, I know I was talking to Yellow Card and many other solutions. The good thing about crypto is that it's becoming really permeating. It's permeating the entire continent in Africa, and also we are seeing the same thing in Europe, in Middle East, in Asia, and South America, because people are sick, they are upset, they want to stop being fooled by their own government, they want to stop to be subject to these unfair currency controls. So what is happening is something that, in my opinion, cannot be stopped. And Tether is the easiest way for people to hold value and keep them in their shares for their own family, for their children, for their, you know, for the future of their families. So that's what I love more. And I always advise to have, you know, Tether as a way to, you know, preserve value against other fiat currencies, but also look at Bitcoin. So although, of course, I'm from Tether, I'm really also, as I said before, laser focused on the importance of Bitcoin as like the king of the decentralized currencies. And so to me is a process. People need to be educated, though, because it's important that people understand exactly how it works. You said it yourself. At the beginning, you were a little bit afraid. You didn't know what to do. But eventually, when you see the potential, this is a game changer, right? So that's why we want, more than anything, be involved in education. For us, it's about creating opportunities rather than, you know, making an extra buck, because, you know, our size is already good. It's not that we need to become the best company in the world. We don't care, but we want to foster education and keep bringing, you know, this education to communities that really need it, because they are the most, you know, the most affected by the issues of inflation and currency devaluation.
It's funny that you say that, because I was curious to know, you know, with the unbanked, most of the time, if you're unbanked, you are not likely in the know of, you know, what Tether is, how to use Tether, how to go about being in the right place or situating yourself such that you can access these services. So I know you mentioned briefly that, you know, your focus is education, but are you perhaps able to share what exactly it is that you're doing to promote the use of, you know, Tether and blockchain and financial freedom and educating people in that way?
Sure. So the our project for 2023 is actually investing in free courses and free education throughout the entire continent in Africa. I think is and you will see our education is not please buy Tether and use Tether, right? Is going to be, there are opportunities in the world. There are opportunities for you, for your family, to hold on Bitcoin, to use Tether as the way to transfer value, to use tools like Keet in order to optimize to talk to your family in a safe way, and so on and so forth, right? So we are targeting, we are going to with different communities, with people that we started to know and appreciate in Africa that share our values. We believe that we can create courses, we can create, because it's not like you do a conference and that's it, you move on to another place. It doesn't work like that. You have to have continuous courses. We are happy to invest resources in providing, you know, for, of course, until a certain extent, also toolings like smartphones, and to show how it works. It's important that people get their hands on how this thing works entirely, because for us it's a mission. It's more not, again, trying to sell our product in general, but we feel like we owe to give back to, you know, to communities, and you know, since we are seeing that not many are doing it, we have the resources to do it, and we should be doing it.
So what's Tether Gold and why is it relevant to all of what it is that you are doing?
That's a good question. So I think that Tether Gold is actually a certain evolution of Tether USDT. I can speak for my family, right? So, and my, you know, the way, you know, my family comes from the farming world in Italy, a simple family. And I know, you know, for the generations, both, you know, I know that in South America, in Europe, especially in south southern part of Europe, you know, every single family, even the poorest one, had, you know, the jewels, everything that they could have was their small treasury, because there was always turmoil, right? People were used to have something that could hold in gold, that could be used, and if they had to travel, if they had to immigrate, they could keep it, right, and travel with it. That it was your safe bank account that you could always keep for yourself. So everyone understands gold, right? So gold is was the money throughout the entire human history. Only in the 20th century, was in the late 50s and 60s, gold was dropped. All the national currencies were pegged to gold. And then they decided that they wanted to print money without any control. And so they stopped to have this link with gold. So we wanted to create an evolution, actually, of a stable coin that was linked to gold, that it is fully 100% backed by real gold held in vaults in Switzerland, so that you could have an alternative, not to Bitcoin. There is nothing like Bitcoin. So Tether Gold doesn't compete with Bitcoin, but compete with other fiat currency stable coins. And this way to not be subject to inflation that is imposed by governments. For example, you know, more than 40% of all the dollars in circulation have been printed in the last 2 or 3 years, right? So it's a crazy amount. We are talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. And so with gold, you cannot do that, right? You cannot extract the amount of gold. The supply of gold is limited. So that's the beauty of gold. That's why it has always been used throughout the human history as a currency. So we wanted to create something that would represent the human history in terms of currencies, and that was gold. On the other side, you have, again, the best currency ever, that is the digital currency, that is the digital gold, that is Bitcoin. So in my opinion, for hedge funds, for normal people that want to diversify their portfolio, they want to have, you know, even more protection from possible global issues that you might have in terms of fiat currencies as well, including the dollar, you can use Tether Gold.
So you did mention earlier as well then that you were at the Africa Bitcoin Conference in Ghana last year. What can you share about the experience there? And are the people in Ghana, and I guess Africa as a whole, are they embracing blockchain technology and very specifically Tether as much as you would hope? Or do you feel that there is, you know, much, much more room for improvement, like how you were saying, in terms of education and all of that? Is it a long road to go still, or has there been a lot of ground already covered in that sense?
So the experience, our team was present in Ghana, and they were astonished by the potential. People were sick and tired about, you know, the inability of properly saving for their families. I mean, I got many stories from taxi drivers, from people living, working in grocery stores, and or even, you know, in finance. Everyone is looking at cryptocurrencies and as a huge opportunity to improve their situation. And I think so. the groundwork is there, but it's really important to distinguish and not falling again in the issue of cryptocurrencies for speculation. Because I think that we should really differentiate between speculation and safety and real world adoption. With real world adoption, I talk about the necessity of having or using cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, Tether, USDT, Tether Gold as a way to preserve your wealth and to fight against inflation and to honor remittances, to share money with your friends, pay for groceries. It is something that will not decrease your wealth, something that will maintain your wealth, right? So that is the good, for me, the good usage of Bitcoin and Tether. And so the other part is the enormous speculation that is not just Africa, it's always there, it's everywhere. Like we are seeing that, we have seen that with FTX was, So I hope that with what happened last year and, the conference in Ghana was right at the end of the year, was clear that we need to do better. That's why we want to push education. We want to push on education that explains, okay, we had few rough years, people got burned, but technology is great. You should use it for the right purpose, that is your freedom, rather than trying to speculate on Shiba Inu and Dogecoin.
No shade to Shiba Inu or Dogecoin intended here, but outside of education, do you have other plans for the African continent as Tether and as Bitfinex?
I was working with a few other team members on a study on the internet infrastructure throughout the African continent. It's a huge continent, right? So it's extremely diverse in the way it is. You have the internet infrastructure being done, but there is I believe that technologies like peer to peer are going to be a big game changer for Africa. Nowadays, if you're using tools like, Zencastr, but you're using Zoom or you're using WhatsApp, Telegram, any other communication system, there is an issue. And the issue is that Africa doesn't have many data centers. And usually what happens is that, for example, if you are sitting in your city and you are sending a message to your neighbor, for example, on Telegram or on WhatsApp or Zoom, your message will travel thousands of miles to go to the nearby data centers and then come back to your neighbor. So instead of traveling, 100 meters, it will travel thousands and thousands of miles. And that will keep bloating the internet infrastructure of Africa, but is everywhere like that. But for example, Europe has many data centers, while ISO and has a quite good internet infrastructure. But where you have a lower grade internet infrastructure with peer-to-peer, you can actually send direct communications to people, optimizing the internet infrastructure. So actually creating, giving a better user experience to everyone that use internet in those areas. And so we want to invest in peer-to-peer education. We want to give grants to people in Africa that want to build on this technology, that want to create competing technologies that will remove the power from big tech corporates and will give back the power to the actual users. So it's really a mission for us. So we believe that also now that Bitcoin sold financial freedom or is in a good path to solve financial freedom, we need to solve freedom of communications.
I think you nailed it there to say that, communication goes hand in hand with everything else, because to get to a place where you can say you have financial freedom, it requires a certain level of communication with some other entity or a group of people or whatever it is. So freedom of communication is paramount, in all the successes we can hope for, in all of innovation, for people to be able to create together, for collaboration to thrive, we actually need to have a well-structured sense of communication between all people from across different areas of life. So Just to kind of close off the conversation, it would be remiss of me not to ask this, but what can you tell us about Tether's, you know, connection and now recovery from everything that happened with FTX in this past year?
Sure. Tether has no exposure to FTX or Alameda whatsoever. Of course, it's known that Alameda was a customer, but apart losing a customer, Tether doesn't have any problem at all. And we have many other customers, right? So that are actually issuing, redeeming Tethers and so on and so forth. So I think that Tether proved its resiliency once again, proved that it is actually the safest instrument ever. If you look at the other stable coins, our competitors, they are going down in value, right? You are seeing, you can see on CoinGecko, right? You check the stable coin page and Tether is the only one that is growing. The others, even in this moment that is extremely distressed, Tether is growing. The others are going down. So this speaks really highly about the trust that people have in Tether, and also push us even farther in creating the best products ever. And as I said before, I'm happy. Well, happy is not probably the right word. Then I will look like a pity person. But I'm happy that we proved that despite all the FUD, all the attacks that we had, Tether is the most resilient company in our ecosystem, both in probably in the digital asset market, so in crypto, and in the traditional financial industry. We grow, we are increasing our reserves even farther than 100%. We are building new technologies. We are profitable. All our competitors, they need to raise money, right? They need to beg VCs to give them money, because otherwise, you know, they go belly up. We are seeing that with, you know, all, you know, these companies, you know, they were lending to each other. They were doing the craziest things, right? They were, you know, lending to their sisters' companies and using this money to buy back their own shares. All the craziest things ever. And then for 5 years, they pointed the fingers at us while they were doing the nastiest things in the world. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, I believe in karma eventually. And, you know, this is what happened.
Now, I have to congratulate you as Tether for, you know, maintaining this level of trust with users, because it says a lot about, you know, the backbone of Tether and everything else that has been put into place, because the only way one can survive that is if you didn't have skeletons in your closet, or perhaps maybe your skeletons are not as large, whichever one it may be. I have to congratulate you all for continuing to thrive and with your growth. Now, as you can tell, I am a big fan of traditions, and it is tradition here on Bankless Africa that we close off the conversation with three words from you, Paolo, about how you feel about the whole crypto space, everything about it. In it can be a phrase that, you know, ends up in three words, or just simply three separate words, but something that describes how you're feeling overall about the future and the potential of the space.
Keep building freedom.
I love that. I keep saying this, and one day I will eventually do it, but I need every single set of three words I've heard here, I need them on a t-shirt. So don't be surprised if I have a t-shirt written, keep creating freedom someday. But thank you so much for joining us. And I know we are one of the first few people that you have spoken to about your plans at Tether and Bitfinex that you have specifically for the African continent, but also for other emerging markets. We truly appreciate the work that you continue to do. And for you and for our listener, remember that there is a world yet to be discovered. And this time, Africa is at the core of the table. So thank you.
Thank you for spending another episode with me. Just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and give us a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. We are our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time.